Think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing thing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
It is one of the reasons why The Diary of Anne Frank is such a fascinating book for so many people to read.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, history, experience, and memory.
Even though there is this idea about, you know, this collective experience, this shared experience of going through the turmoil of the 60s or the Cold War or those kinds of things, everybody experienced those things differently. And how each individual experienced that, of course, is going to determine what their memories are like. But all of us are susceptible to misremembering things by putting together information that we've gotten potentially long past those actual experiences that we've now woven into those experiences, even though they really weren't a part of something that we ourselves experienced.
When we look at what defines the experiences that people have, in the moment, it is the day-to-day actions that we take, the things that we do, that are the definition of what we've experienced. We got up each day, we ate meals, we spent time with people, we did things. And of course, there are always larger social movements that are going on, some of which might be specific to a particular country, some of which might be related to a world situation. But those larger social events may not structure what your day-to-day life looks like. And your day-to-day life has an ebb and flow regardless of those seas that are going on around you. It's one of the reasons why, for example, The Diary of Anne Frank is such a fascinating book for so many people to read, because she's hiding from the Nazis who would like to kill her. And yet, so much of the book is taken up with her day-to-day existence. And there's a backdrop of this historical time period. And yet, even within that, her experience is a recognizably human day-to-day experience. And so
yeah.
What's interesting, of course, for those of us who look back on a story like that or a story of any era, is that we assume that the historical forces must have shaped much of what that person's experience is like. And it certainly put boundaries on it. Anne Frank would not have chosen to be living hidden under other circumstances, and yet day-to-day experience still had a tremendous amount of real life to it, in the same way that all of us who went through whatever eras historically that we've lived through, there were overall constraints that those historical eras may have placed on us, and yet our day-to-day experience is still a human one filled with all of the small events that make up day-to-day life.
Yeah, and I that's so fascinating to me, the way that things are remembered. And I wonder if there's something about what memories we prioritize.
I think part of it is how wide your circle is that you're experiencing, right? I mean, each of us, you know, varies even at different times of our lives of how much we're affecting in the world and how much of the world is affecting us, right? I mean, there are some times, maybe when we're caring for a loved one who's sick or whatever, where the surface area of our life shrinks a little bit, right? Because we have to sort of focus our attention in a pretty close space. And at other times, and for other people, they may have a much wider perceptual feel in terms of being aware of what's going on and their potential to affect what's going on. If you interact with a very small number of people every day, and that's about it, and you don't really, either because you choose not to or you don't have time to, inform yourself about goings on, you know, in your community or country or the world or whatever, there's not a lot that's going on outside of that sphere that you're in that's going to influence you very much, except as it the outside world intrudes on that sphere, right? But there are other people who, you know, their eyes are wide open and they're looking for things that are much larger even than their own personal experience.
Human experience involves both a belief that we participate in a larger context as well as the set of day-to-day experiences. But the amount of information that we were able to get reliably about the outside broader context has differed over the course of human history in ways that have led us to fill that need to feel part of a larger context in other ways. So you could argue that part of the role that organized religion played in many societies for a long time was to provide a broader context in which the lives of individuals would be situated, because there wasn't necessarily a lot of news from what was happening more broadly. You might actually live much of your life in a particular town or village without a tremendous amount of contact with other groups. And so you had a framework that provided this context that was this religious element. And now, of course, we're able to get news from what's happening around the world immediately and be deeply informed about what is happening broadly, which can then, if you wanted to, influence the actions that you take on a daily basis. And so we're able to calibrate that broader context on the basis of a lot of information that's now available to us, which is not to say that for many people, religion still doesn't play a role in contextualizing life, but it's not the only option anymore. One of the reasons why common or shared religious background may have been so important for people in the past is because that shared context played a role that we can now get from the shared world context that all of us are exposed to.
Next week, we'll talk about the society of social media with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is usually our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head for KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.